Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of your faithful people, and kindle in us the fire of your love. Send forth your Spirit, and we shall be created, and so we shall renew the face of the earth. In Jesus' name, amen. In April of 2002, I retired and Dee and I moved here to Sheridan. For the past 16 years, St. Peter's has been our spiritual home, and you have been our spiritual family. Over these past 16 years, we've seen quite a few changes in Sheridan. We've also seen some changes here at St. Peter's. And now, once again, we find ourselves in a time of change and transition. I don't like change. My wife tells me that's because I'm an old man. But even when I was young, I didn't like change. I like things to be stable. I like things to stay the same. Change makes me nervous, makes me uneasy, makes me anxious. And I'm sure the same is true with you. But as I told the children, in life, change is inevitable. Okay. Yeah, I don't use the pocket mic because I'm always afraid I might turn it off or turn it on at the wrong time. So we're trying this out this morning. We see how it works. All right, you doing okay? Good. Okay. Yeah, change is inevitable. I think we all know that, we all realize that. But there is that one constant in our life that does not change, and that is the love of God in Christ Jesus. And that has been manifested in this church for the last 100+ years. Our rector has left. Our new rector has not yet come. But God is still in this place, as he has been for over 100 years. He's here, working in and through the people of this parish who worship, pray, and work together for the spread of God's kingdom in this community, and that will not change. So we have to take a step back and just catch our breath and perhaps reevaluate our relationship with both God and this parish and this community. And so what I want to talk to you about this morning is stewardship. Stewardship of your time, your talent, and your treasure. Now, stewardship begins with recognizing that everything we have and everything we are comes from God. And we are answerable to God for what he has given us. And we need to acknowledge that by giving back to the church, the community, and those in need. Now, when Dee and I were first married, I was serving on active duty in the United States Marine Corps. And for the first year and a half, we lived in base housing at the Marine Corps base in Quantico, Virginia. After I left the Marine Corps, we went back to New York City, where we lived in several apartments before I went into the church. After I went into the church, we lived for 8 years in the curate's house at Holy Trinity Episcopal Church, and for 20 years in the rectory at St. Margaret's Episcopal Church. Now, when you live in a house that doesn't belong to you and that you do not own, it gives you an interesting perspective on stewardship, because you are answerable to the owner of the house for your care and maintenance of the house when you're living in it. And you have to abide by the rules that the landlord has set down, whether that landlord is the government, the church, or a private individual. Now, quite often, I look at the Sheridan Press, and I'll see advertisements for rental properties, and they'll specify, no smoking, no pets. Which means, if you want to live in that house, you can't smoke, you can't have a pet. Those are the rules. can't make changes in the house. You can't paint the kitchen or the bathroom, can't change the lighting fixtures unless you have the owner's permission. I've been living in this house for the last 78 and a half years. And while I often refer to it as my body, I'm keenly aware of the fact that it is not my body. It's the body God has given me. God created me out of the dust of the earth, and to dust I shall return. And I'll be reminding you of that in a couple of weeks at Ash Wednesday. This body is not mine, it is God's. It belongs to God. St. Paul reminds us that we are temples of the Holy Spirit, that God dwells in us. By virtue of our baptism, Christ dwells in us. We are his hands, his feet, his eyes, and his ears in this world. We are agents of the living God through Christ Jesus our Lord, who lives within us. So we are accountable to God for how we use the body that God has given us. We need to respect it as a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to treat it with dignity and grace. We need to take care of it. We can't abuse it with drugs and alcohol. And we have to use it not for our own self-interest or our own self-pleasure, but to serve others in the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, in addition to a body to live in, God gives each one of us a specific amount of time to live in that body. For some, that time is very brief. For others, it can be a century or more. Before I was born, my mother suffered two miscarriages, a boy and a girl. I have a brother and a sister in heaven who never saw the light of day. They died in utero. My mother lived to be 92. So here's the span of human existence, from womb to tomb, perhaps a century or more, perhaps only a day or an hour. But we are answerable to God for every second of every minute of every hour of every day that he has given us. It is God's time for us to use, and we use it to give him honor and glory and to serve others in his name. Now, in addition to a body to live in and a life to live and time to live it, God gives each one of us unique gifts and talents. And by discerning and developing those gifts and talents, we become the person that God wants us to be. Now, talents are varied. We all have different gifts, we all have different talents. And I just want to read to you what St. Paul says, writing in 1 Corinthians. He says, "Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are varieties of service, but the same Lord. And there are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good." Now, Paul's speaking about spiritual gifts in the church, but I believe the same applies to natural gifts. God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, has given each and every one of us natural gifts for the common good. That's the key phrase, not just for us. Well, yes, we need to develop our gifts and talents to support ourselves, to support our family. That's what we do. And you will all support yourselves because you have developed gifts and talents. There's great gifts and talents in this church. I mean, 2 weeks ago, we had a wonderful service, Father John's last service, and we heard some music that was composed by Ann Lowe and performed by the gifted musicians of this church. Now, someone once asked Johann Sebastian Bach, the composer, "What is the purpose of music?" Bach responded, "The purpose of music is to glorify God and to uplift the human spirit." And that we experienced 2 weeks ago. And that's what we experience every Sunday through the gifts and talents of our musicians. They're not the only ones. There are many gifts at work in this church, gifts of administration, of carpentry, of plumbing, of all sorts of gifts. You know it as well as I do, all the outreach ministries here. It's people developing and sharing their gifts and talents with the church and the community for the common good. That is what God intends us to do, to develop our gifts and talents to become the people he wants us to be, and then to share those gifts and talents with the church and the larger community. Now we come to treasure, and that's perhaps the most difficult to talk about because it involves money. We had a parishioner at St. Margaret's back in New York who was an investment banker, very wealthy man from a very prominent family. And he always used to say, the purpose of money is to do good. Dean and I were discussing him yesterday, and I was talking about the sermon, and talking about Jim Roosevelt, and she said, remember, tell people that. Say it twice. Jim always used to say, the purpose of money was to do good. Now, Jim was an investment banker, and he had a unique gift for making and managing money, his own as well as other people's. He was a very giving individual and generous with not only his treasure but his time and talent. He was on the diocesan council, and quite often the bishop would send him to a church that was having financial difficulties. He'd sit down with the vestry, he'd go over their books, he'd show them how to organize their finances, how to be more creative with their financing, and then he'd speak to the congregation about stewardship of time, talent, and treasure. And he'd always say, give. Give until it hurts, and then keep giving until it feels good. And eventually it will feel good, and you will be blessed. Give until it hurts, and then keep giving. That's the key. That's the key to stewardship. Because the more you give, the more God gives. And God will not be outdone in his generosity. I visited Jim a few days before he died at his home. And he was sitting in his favorite chair. Next to him, on the table, was a Bible and a copy of the Wall Street Journal. Those two items define Jim Roosevelt's life. He was a banker, and he was a Christian. And he was one of the most generous and giving individuals I ever met. And he came from a generous and giving family. His family built St. Luke's Roosevelt Hospital in New York City. They endowed Harvard and many other universities and libraries and hospitals throughout the country. They gave us two of our greatest presidents and a number of military heroes, including Jim's cousin, Brigadier General Theodore Roosevelt III, who died on the beach at Normandy during the D-Day invasion. Jim knew how to give. He knew how to give until it hurt, and he kept on giving. The generosity and the giving that we extend to others sometimes long outlives our own time on earth. Over 100 years ago, another investment banker, a man named J.P. Morgan, who you may have heard of, there's a bank named after him, was having dinner with the Bishop of New York, who at the time was also the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. He was bemoaning the fact that Episcopal clergy could not retire. They had to work until they died because their salaries were small, and for the most part, they lived in church-owned housing. So when they retired, they lost not only their income, they lost their homes. I did when we retired. We had to move out of the rectory. Shortly after that dinner, J.P. Morgan established the church pension fund, of which I am currently a recipient. A very generous man. In the year 1759, King George III of England established a fund for the relief of widows and orphans of Anglican clergymen serving in the colony of New York. He entrusted those funds to the vestry of Trinity Church, Wall Street. After the American Revolution and the establishment of the Episcopal Church, the vestry of Trinity Wall Street, which at that time included George Washington and Alexander Hamilton, perpetuated that fund as the fund for the relief of widows and orphans of Anglican clergymen serving in the Diocese of New York. That fund still exists. It is still administered by the vestry of Trinity Church. And when I depart this life, my wife Dee will become a recipient of what is lovingly called the George III Widows Fund. Edward Whitney was a man who lived here in Sheridan. And his generosity changed this community and continues to this day to change and enrich this community. The good that we do quite often outlives us, and the beneficiaries are generations yet unborn. This is stewardship. This is using the gifts and talents and treasure that God has given us to do good. And that is the purpose of money, and that is the purpose of time, and that is the purpose of our lives, to do good in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So I'd like you to just step back now in a period of transition and rethink your commitment to St. Peter's, your commitment to this community, to reflect upon what God has done in your life, what God has given you, and to see how can we give back. This is a very generous church and a very generous community, and God has blessed us richly because we know how to give. So let's continue to give. Let's give until it hurts, and we will be blessed, because that is God's intention for us, and that is God's purpose for us. Jesus gave until it hurt so much as he died on that cross at Calvary. And look what came out of his generosity. Eternal life for each and every one of us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.